Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun show today. Jeff Hem, the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds, will join us at 10:30. Plenty of Titans talk today, and we got Dr. Crane sitting in with us. Thanks for coming in early today, doing a little double duty on the station today.
Yeah, anytime. I'm a morning guy, so this is great.
Right. You're always up at like 4 a.m.
Crack of dawn, baby. You know, before the chickens.
Right. Yeah, you don't even have to wait for the rooster to crow. You're already awake. Going to be a good show today. Again, Jeff Hem going to join us at 10:30. Going to talk some baseball. We never talk baseball on the station. I mean, I get it. There's no pro baseball team here, but we're going to talk some baseball, some Sounds. The Brewers have the best record in baseball with a lot of former Sounds on their team, including all-star Jacob Mizorowski, who spent a lot of time in Nashville this year. We'll also look around the world of baseball during that hour as well. We are going to hit on the Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward scuffle coming up in the next segment, but we have to open the show with the article that just came out this morning. Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport, our own Teron Davenport, coming out with an article, a very well-written article. I've skimmed as much of it as I can since getting to the station about 30 minutes ago. And it is a long piece about the Titans trying to avoid the same mistakes that the Panthers ran into with Bryce Young and the Bears have already run into with Caleb Williams. And mainly, it's about having a head coach in place and firing him during the first season of a rookie quarterback's career. But the nugget that has been really circulating, and actually it was funny, I was on my way in here and I got a buzz on my Apple Watch and I saw the words Titans fire Callahan and I was very confused for a second and I saw it said Titans considered firing Brian Callahan at the end of last season. Here is the exact quote from the story, again from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler and our own Teron Davenport. There was consideration given to completely cleaning house and sending Callahan on his way along with Carthon. Multiple Titan sources confirmed Callahan and Carthon had a close relationship, and having the number one pick gave Tennessee an opportunity to bring in a new general manager, coach, and rookie quarterback at the same time. But the front office took an honest look at the talent on the roster and factored that into Callahan's record in his first season. The front office didn't lose sight of Callahan being one of the league's in-demand coaching candidates when the Titans hired him. So, the Titans, they considered cleaning house, which I know was a popular idea around here after a 3-14 season. I am a guy, and if you've listened to this show, listened to me before, I am on the give Brian Callahan a chance train. Like, let's not fire him before he even coaches a real game this year. But if you actually considered firing him, if it was a legitimate conversation of, do we keep him, do we not, you should have fired him.
Yeah, I mean, on the weekend show, you know, before the transition, I even told you, like, 1-4, 1-5, Callahan's gone. And to that point, you look at the whole situation here, like you said, if you had the thought and you want to clean house in total, do it. Because the reason why they didn't pull the trigger is somebody, maybe it was Chad Brinker and or whoever else in the front office, like, you know what, maybe we have something here. Because if we get rid of Callahan, we get rid of his dad. I feel like you clean shop.
Well, I mean, yeah, Bill's not staying on staff without Brian.
That's what I'm saying. And
we made the joke of if they fire Brian, one of the only guys with NFL head coaching experience is Bill. Does he become the interim head coach?
Oh, boy. That'd have been rough. I mean, but you think about it, though. Like, if you get rid of Brian, you get rid of Bill, the offensive line is back to square one. You're still looking for a left tackle. I don't know if this decision was before or after signing of Dan Moore.
It would have been probably right at the end of the season. Right when they fired Carthon, they probably would have fired Callahan, too. So I think it was all would have been in one fail swoop. They would have gotten everybody. But I just, if you had that thought, that means you aren't completely bought in on him. And if you're not completely bought in on him, that is the easiest way to stunt a quarterback's growth. Bryce Young, we've seen him at least try and dig out of it with Dave Canales, but he got benched for a while there before he came back. Caleb Williams, he was fine last year. He took 68 sacks, but they've improved the offensive line. They've gotten him more weapons. I mean, you took Colston Loveland and Luther Burden with your first two picks in the draft. So if Caleb Williams isn't good this year, the blame's going to start to fall on him.
By the way, they looked great in the preseason game.
They did.
Him and Colston Loveland, really just him throwing to the tight ends in general, looked awesome.
So, I mean, Caleb Williams, it's too early, but everybody knew that keeping Matt Eberflus was a mistake because, like, he wasn't going to help develop Caleb Williams.
No. I mean, you look at Caleb Williams, he already had all the intangibles, and like to what Parker just said, throwing to all the tight ends. I mean, that's it's a quarterback safety net. So, I mean, you look at that offense, when you can't really flourish in the whole entire scheme and you just deviate to one player, I got to show you, it's more on the coach than the player.
Here's more from the Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport article that, again, the bombshell, if you want to call it a bombshell. I don't know if this is actually, like, big news because I'm sure at the end of a 3-14 season, there's always some sort of consideration about the head coach. But the way they're putting it is that, yeah, I mean, cleaning house was an actual possibility. But here's what Chad Brinker told ESPN. We wanted to give him that opportunity to grow as a head football coach. We felt another year to grow into that, and we're going to need to see that growth. We believe in Brian, and we think he's going to get there. That's why he was retained. And here is more. The sense on the ground during Tennessee's training camp is that Callahan is well-supported and that modest progress could be enough to keep his job beyond this year, depending on how that progress looks. So that's kind of what I've been saying, is that the win total, it has to be better. You can't go 3-14 again. But there are different ways that a six-win season could look. There could be a six-win season where Cam Ward is just meh, and you maybe luck into a couple of wins here and there against bad teams, and you get blown out by the good teams. Or you could go 6-11 where Cam Ward looks really good, but the team just isn't quite talented enough to win games late against some good teams. So I agree with that modest progress could be enough to keep Callahan, depending on how that progress looks. But it's concerning to me that Amy was close to pulling the trigger and gave him another chance. You wonder if, I know the joke around here is, if you're 1-5 heading into the Patriots game and you get blown out, you could get fired. If she was considering it last year, there's a chance she actually would do that.
Well, I go back to the John Robinson interview with Chase McJoe a while back. I mean, even John said it after the Eagles game, no notice. It was gone, just like that. So, like, you make a great point there, Jake. After the Patriots game, if they get blown out, more than likely I could see Amy Adams Strunk just pulling the trigger.
I mean, that's the issue, is that with this owner, you know that some of those personal losses can lead to rash decisions. They may say that the Eagles game wasn't the exact reason why John Robinson was fired. Now, obviously, there was an accumulation of bad decisions that led to that. But Amy Adams Strunk sitting in a box in Philly having fans yell thank you to her as A.J. Brown spanks the goalpost after scoring what would have been his second touchdown if it didn't get called back. Like, the reason John Robinson got fired, the straw that broke the camel's back, was that game. And I feel like if Brian Callahan gets off to a slow start, which would be easy to do with the schedule laid out the way it is early in the season, and Mike Vrabel comes in here to Nashville and lights you up, that might be it. And Cam Ward then is 7 games into his rookie season and has to adjust to a whole new head coach.
Exactly. And also about the whole firing thing when it comes to the Patriots game, if that does get out of hand, I'm confident, just in my gut feeling as usual, Chad Brink would be out the door as well. The reason why I say that is because I go to Joe Dubin's comment. He asked, can this team you put on the field win the Super Bowl? The one person that chuckled was Chad Brinker, and the other one that was Mike Borgonzi was pretty serious about answering it the correct way. And to me, I don't know, it just seems like a lack of maturity with Chad Brinker. I know he's in a high position as the president of football operations, but to that quote there in that whole entire article, to me, giving him that modest option of the slow progression, for me, that was Brinker talking Amy off the ledge.
Yeah.
That's just how I interpret it.
That's a great point.
That is a good point.
Because I was sitting
right
there when it happened. And Mike Borgonzi, serious as you can be, Chad Brinker was chuckling. He chuckled twice. So that was a good point by you.
More from the article. Last little quote here from Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport. Mike Borgonzi says, I'm really not big into expectations. I want to see growth. I want to see competition and discipline and start to come together as a team. Are we getting better? All of this is easy to say in August. November and December are when an owner's patience will be tested if the season has taken a disappointing turn and fan apathy is cutting into the bottom line. The pressure is also on Ward, but he's confident he'll be unfazed by it and believes his coach will be right there in his corner. And we have seen Cam Ward last week. He came out and defended Brian Callahan. We need to see growth from Brian Callahan. He was not good enough last year. His staff was not good enough last year. But, I mean, he is the head coach right now. And I will say, seeing this article, I think if you thought about cleaning house, you should have cleaned house. You didn't do it. Now you have to back up Brian Callahan and hope that he's the guy to develop Cam Ward. Because as they write in this article, Bryce Young and Caleb Williams both kind of had to waste their rookie season with a coach who wasn't the guy, and then they had to start over with a new staff and a new playbook and all this. You don't want that for Cam Ward. If it has to happen, it has to happen. But you'd love to have some stability if it makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, Callahan does his press conferences the day after, or 24 hours after. For me, I look at that as an organizational thing of protecting his job, because if he responds immediately, I mean, minus, you know, the Sunday games right after post-game press conference, minus that. But doing everything 24 hours after, to me, is the front office saying, hey, we're trying to protect our head coach.
Yeah.
And just saying, oh, we want to keep him around for a little bit so he can kind of mature as a head coach.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost like we have a training wheels on him right now, and we're trying to develop him as a real head coach.
Yeah, I think everybody is not a big fan of the pre-practice press conferences. Like, you'd love to hear what he thought about what just happened instead of, you know, a day later. Like, there was the scuffle, which we're going to get into with Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. Like, you would have loved to hear from Brian Callahan after that about what happened and what his thoughts were on both those players. But now he got a night to sleep on it and can kind of craft an answer, which we'll hear at 9:45. Again, we're going to carry that live. Lots of texts on this. We'll stick with this for right now. And we will get to the Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons scuffle coming up. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Again, Jeff Hem from the Nashville Sounds is going to join us for an hour at 10:30. We will carry the Brian Callahan press conference live at 9:45. Sure, we'll get some reaction to the Big Jeff Cam Ward scuffle yesterday in practice. We will talk about that in a little bit, but do want to stick on this. Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport putting out an article today, letting everyone know that Amy Adams Strunk considered firing Brian Callahan at the end of last season and completely cleaning house. We'll stick with this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville at First Horizon Park with the first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We will be joined at 10:30 by the voice of the Sounds, Jeff Hem. Going to talk some baseball on the program. I love baseball. I love to give baseball some love. We're going to bring Jeff in, voice of the AAA Nashville Sounds for the best team in the majors, the Milwaukee Brewers. So going to be a fun hour. Nick Frazier is with me today. We did get a text. Eddie from California asked, why no TD on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com? Yes, it is a Tuesday. I forgot to mention that off the top of the show. TD Tuesdays are still going to be happening, but the Titans' practice schedule is not set in stone yet. Once we get to the regular season and they're practicing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, TD will be in on Tuesdays. But they are practicing in 40 minutes. So TD, you know, he is the beat reporter for ESPN for the Titans. He has to be at practice. So
He's not a shapeshifter. He can't be everywhere.
Right. He can't be two places at once. So TD is out at practice today. He will be with us on Thursday this week. So not today, TD Thursday this week. But I believe starting next week, it should be consistent Tuesdays with TD. So no worries. TD will be with us this week just a little later because of the Titans practice schedule. We are going through TD's article along with ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. The main purpose of the article is to talk about the last two first overall picks, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, some of the mistakes that have been made, and comparing it to the situation Cam Ward is in. But the big nugget that came out of it is that the Titans did consider firing Brian Callahan at the end of the season. And we were talking about how maybe he is on more thin ice than we thought. Joey from Bellevue on our text line says, if the owner fires the coach, should the Titans lose against the Patriots, the owner needs to take a hard look in the mirror. She was the one that made the call to fire Vrabel. She also let J-Rob trade away Brown. It's ignorant if she fires someone based on decisions she made. I mean, it's fair. It is fair. But you know the owner. Like, we've seen her decisions over the last couple of years. It's easy. I don't think she will do it because I think it would be too obvious. Like, everybody's talked about this. If Callahan doesn't start well and he loses to Vrabel, he's gone. I think she knows that would look petty. So I don't know if she would do it. But I wouldn't put it past her.
I'm about to say I wouldn't put it past her either. If the Titans lose by 30 and or 24, I honestly 24 or more for me, Callahan's gone against the Patriots. I really do think so. And I think Borgonzi's with them.
Borgonzi?
Brinker.
I was going to say, man, that would be a real quick trigger.
Brinker. Excuse me about that. Brinker, yeah, yeah.
Bob asks, is the reverse true? If the Titans blow out the Patriots, does Callahan get an extension despite maybe being 1-5? Yeah, maybe. Is it like some college football fan bases will say, like, we could go 1-11, but if we beat our rival, it's a successful season. Is that what it is? Like, Callahan could go 1-17, but if he blows out the Patriots, or 1-16, then he gets to keep his job.
I think it's more of Amy and Brian are going to have a good phone call on Mondays. Because they used to have like phone calls at 3 p.m. on every Monday. So maybe they still do that. Maybe they have tea this time instead of, you know, coffee.
Texter on our text line 9777 says, with this article coming out about Amy, it just makes the Titans look even more dumb than they are. Why wouldn't they fire him if she was already considering it? When she does fire him, it's just going to ruin Cam's development. And we all know she's just waiting on Mike Vrabel to come in here and put BTA to have a reason to fire him. Yeah, it's fair. I mean, that's my question, too. I've said it that we see all these texts and we get all these calls about Callahan's horrible, fire Callahan. It's like, all right, it's not even week one of the regular season yet. Let's give him a chance. He is the head coach of the team still. That's not going to change. They're not going to fire him before the season starts. But it does concern me that they gave serious consideration to letting him go and then brought him back and still took a quarterback number one overall. Like, you've got to have everybody on the same page. There has to be symmetry across all three levels, the front office, the coaching staff, the roster. Like, it's all got to work together. And right now it's like, all right, you got Borgonzi on one timeline, Brinker's on another timeline. It seems like Brinker may be immune to any of this. You got Callahan on the hot seat compared to everybody else. And then you've got a rookie quarterback who you picked number one overall. It's like the timelines just don't match up. I'd love to see some symmetry across this. And if Callahan does show that he's improved, then I think maybe you'll get that. But you did see the Bears. They fired Eberflus. They could have cleaned house with Ryan Poles, but instead they extended him and committed to, all right, Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles. That is our core moving forward with Caleb Williams. I'm not saying they should extend Callahan, but I'm saying you do need to get some sort of everybody is on the same page working towards the same goal. Because right now, Callahan's priorities are different than everyone else's priorities because Callahan's trying to save his job, while Brinker and Borgonzi, they feel safe. They're trying to build for the future, and that doesn't line up.
I think the best way for Callahan to find some symmetry, like you're talking about, and or just Titans in general, is for Callahan. I think he's starting to do this a little bit. We've seen that. I'll use the Jeffrey Simmons scuffle example here in a second. But, you know, for Callahan, I think he needs to delegate a lot of his responsibilities because, you know, calling plays, being a head coach, kind of looking at the defense for the most part. You're overseeing everything. I think if you can delegate that to some of your assistant coaches, it'll ease more pressure off of his shoulders and actually focus on being a true head coach and developing Cam Ward. I think that's primarily what's the what's kind of blocking his vision right now is there's too much on his plate.
Right. We said last year that he looked in over his head at times. It looked like it was a lot for him to try and be the head coach and the play caller because he had never done either before. He's had a year under his belt. He's got to show that he can juggle all of that. Or, like you said, hire somebody who can take stuff away from him. Like, I use Vanderbilt as an example. Clark Lee lost 10 games in a row in 2023. And I get college and pros not exactly the same. He brought in Jerry Kill, who Jerry Kill was like, I'm going to be the CEO of this program, and I can be the guy who makes sure everybody else is doing their jobs. You can go be a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They went 7-6 the next year. Maybe there's something like that needs to happen. He brought in Mike McCoy, who's kind of an analyst. Maybe that helps. Maybe he relies more on his dad. Maybe he gives more to Denard Wilson and Nick Hulse, although they're inexperienced too. Like, he can't handle all of it. He's got to be able to spread those responsibilities out.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I mentioned earlier about the Jeffrey Simmons, you know, situation yesterday, the scuffle with Cam Ward. You know, last season when Jeffrey Simmons was, you know, thrown or not thrown out of practice, but, you know, he took his helmet off and all that stuff, was in a big scuffle, and Callahan didn't do anything. There were no repercussions from that. This year, obviously it's the number one overall pick, rookie quarterback, but he was escorted off the field when he took his helmet off. So I think as a head coach, he's learning from his own mistakes from the year prior and looking into the future, saying, you know what, this is my job. I have to assert my dominance if I want to keep it.
It's fair. I think we can end our conversation on this, at least for now. We might get back into this later in the show. Devin and Dixon. Amy Adams is so annoying, she makes moves on a whim faster than a fart disappearing in the wind. This team is in the shape it is because of decisions she has made and no one else. What a way to put it.
That was great.
I don't know if that's the way I would have put it, but, I mean, it's fair enough. And I think Amy Adams has proven she can be a good owner. She was a good owner until the John Robinson decision. And there was a text here. And Bob said it. Let's be honest, firing John Robinson was the right decision. Timing may be weird. Yes, that's the point I'm making. Firing John Robinson was probably the right decision. He had three horrible drafts in a row. But to fire him when you're 7-5 and in first place in the division maybe didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's where things have changed. I think she needs to make a concerted decision to either you clean house and get rid of Callahan and start over, or you stick with him and commit to him as the guy who's going to develop Cam Warden. You got to make that decision, and it seems like she at least wanted to give Callahan a chance. Don't fire him if things don't go well in the first month.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's a scenario out there, Jake, where Callahan keeps his job, but Brinker's out the door, along with the other GMs they hired this past offseason. Because to me, you talk about symmetry and direct line of communication. If I'm Amy Adams Strunk and I look at the rest of this organization, I look at it, I'm like, wow, there is no direct line of communication. It goes through six different people before it gets to the head coach.
Well, Brinker in this article actually has a quote that explains all of it.
Oh, please.
In this article from Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport that we're reviewing right now here on Next Man Up. Quote, our structure is unique, but it's not abnormal. Brinker said. The way we're structured is that Amy wanted a football executive, so I report to Amy, Mike reports to me, and the head coach reports to Mike. If there is some sort of dispute that we just can't resolve, we're going to get in the room, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to work through it together. So it is a direct chain, Amy, Brinker, Borgonzi, Callahan.
Throw up. Just absolute throw up. That is disgusting. It needs to be a direct line of communication, Amy, Borgonzi, head coach.
Yeah, the Brinker thing is weird. It really is. Like, it seems like he was part of a lot of these bad decisions that have gotten the team to where it was, but yeah. It seems like he isn't held accountable for any of it, and it feels like he's the guy who has the most job security right now.
It's like he's the spokesperson for Amy Adams Strunk.
Right.
That's exactly what he is.
And we don't hear from Amy anymore. So,
again,
very interesting. And if you want to check out the article, it's on ESPN. We might get back into it a little bit more, but Teron Davenport, Jeremy Fowler put out this article. The title is Have Titans Learned from Caleb Williams and Bryce Young Issues? Lots of great stuff in there. Towards the end is where you get the stuff on some of the structural stuff or issues in the Titans organization.
It's just an employment name. That's all it is. I told this to Joe Dubin 2 weeks ago. These people that have their jobs that just have a random job, it's an employment name for them to collect a check. That's it.
Czar of football, or whatever, the president of football operations for Chad Brinker. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan going to speak at the podium ahead of practice coming up in just about 15 minutes. We will bring that to you live when he is up ahead of today's padded practice out at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. When we come back, the big story of yesterday, Jeffrey Simmons, Cam Ward got into a little scuffle. We will talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. That was Teron Davenport yesterday on DVD, recapping what happened in the scuffle between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons yesterday at practice. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. I can't stop myself from laughing picturing Cam Ward walking up to Jeff Simmons and doing the Zombieland celebration just right in his face.
I love it.
I mean, I like the fire from Cam Ward, but also, like, probably unnecessary. But, man, Jeff Simmons, I thought Paul Kaharsky summed this up perfectly yesterday. He tweeted out, like, one more thing on this and I'm done. Cam Ward wears a red jersey for a reason. And that is the only thing that matters in this is you do not touch the quarterback. I understand Cam Ward shouldn't have gone up and done that. Like, it's a little disrespectful from Cam Ward, and I know that it's playful, and I'm sure that Cam Ward meant absolutely no malice by it, but it was a little disrespectful. Jeffrey Simmons shouldn't have hit him. You don't hit the quarterback.
Yeah, but also, too, I look at it as it's a good thing for this team because, and I'm quoting Ian on this, the low-T Titans with their energy. I just think that this is perfect. This team has lacked energy the last couple weeks.
Right.
I go back to Gentry Estes, his comment with Robbie and Rexroad earlier today that, you know, he said for the longest time, a lot of these people have been griping and moaning about this energy not being there. Now it's there.
Right.
Now you can actually capitalize off this. So I think going into week one after the finale of the preseason with the Vikings, this is a good thing. Maybe this does light a fire under, you know, Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward's butt that they can produce at a higher level. You know, I mean, that's probably what you need.
Right. That's the hope is that, you know, you're right. We've been talking about how the Titans have no juice. The Titans have no energy. This shows some juice. Maybe not the juice that you want. You don't want fights going on within your own team. But Jeffrey Simmons did tweet out last night, and I'll paraphrase here because some of it's not safe for radio. LOL, yeah, y'all doing way too much. It's practice. It's football. Stuff happens between the lines. But y'all letting these reporters blow up something that happened at practice says a lot. Trust me, me and one is good. I mean, I'm glad to hear from Jeffrey Simmons that, you know, it wasn't anything serious. It's not a big deal. But to say, like, the reporters obviously are out there at practice and they see that happen. It's a big deal. That's your best player and your number one overall pick quarterback shoving each other, leading to a big scuffle at practice. Like, it is a big deal in terms of practice. It shouldn't be a big deal in terms of the long-term outlook of the team.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Simmons should know that, you know, he's talking about media's blowing this out of proportion. That's local media you're talking about. Remember, Cam Ward was the number one overall pick, bud. You're going to have national media covering this. That's why it's being blown
right
out of proportion.
Adam Schefter tweeted out a link to TD's story about it.
Got a million views.
Yep.
I mean, come on now, Jeff.
So, if you're Jeffrey Simmons, don't push your quarterback in the face mask and expect that people aren't going to talk about it. Like, that is going to draw headlines. But I also understand what he's saying of, like, we've seen the pictures, like Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons are going fishing together, and like they've talked about how it's a big brother, little brother relationship, and they like going back and forth on the field. I'm sure there is absolutely no issue of like Jeffrey Simmons hates Cam Ward and Cam Ward hates Jeffrey Simmons. It's heat of the moment on the practice field, but again, you have to know if you're Jeffrey Simmons. You do not hit the quarterback in any fashion, and I agree with TD in that clip. Callahan should have thrown him out of practice. And this is now 2 years in a row during training camp where Jeffrey Simmons has started a fight and not gotten thrown out of practice. I think the Brian Callahan doesn't hold people accountable story is overblown because I'm sure behind closed doors, and we've even seen it in front of the media, that Brian Callahan does get after his guys.
Right.
But that is a prime example of like, hey, man, that's a leader on your team who started a fight by hitting your number one overall pick quarterback after the play. Like, you got to do something. And yeah, I think he should have thrown Jeffrey Simmons out of practice.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because I heard through another person that he did throw him out in a roundabout way. You know, Jeff walked off the field with somebody else. I heard that yesterday, so I guess maybe he didn't. So that's yikes. I take back what I said about Brian Callahan developing as a head coach because then he's not really developing. So yikes.
It's one example, but that's 2 years in a row where it's like, hey, that's a leader on your team, and yeah, you could set an example and throw him out of practice, and you didn't. And last year, I remember they had the officials there, and they said that Simmons would have been thrown out in a game. Robert on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asked, so what was Jeff exactly supposed to do? Just take it. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
You don't hit the quarterback. It's that is the cardinal rule of practice is they're wearing the red jersey. You don't touch them. And I understand it was disrespectful. Cam probably shouldn't have gone up, shoved Jeffrey Simmons and celebrated in his face, but you can't hit the quarterback. Like there is no exceptions to this. Like, yeah, I understand that Cam was asking for it, but you don't do it, even if they're asking for it.
You go shove an offensive lineman. You don't go shove Cam. Exactly. And I want to get to Jeffrey Simmons' tweet real quick, not to reiterate
it. No, you're good.
But the fact that he tweeted about the situation, and like you said about Callahan speaking about the situation, I think Jeff should have spoke on the situation after practice. Because when you tweet something, it only opens up to more speculation.
Right.
It doesn't clear the air. If you speak it into a microphone, that's going to clear the air immediately. And media's like, okay, we got the record straight. You did this, you did that. Okay, nothing else to talk about. And go on about your day. Whereas for Jeff, he tweets about it. All right, you're going to start ruffling feathers again. Simple as that.
I would like to hear from Jeff Simmons after practice, too. Apparently, he was escorted to the locker room after practice. So we will hear from Brian Callahan. He is getting ready to give his pre-practice press conference. We will bring that to you live coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman. Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, we are waiting on Brian Callahan to step to the podium. We will bring you his pre-practice press conference whenever he is ready. Let's quickly go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland wants to chime in. Adam, good morning. Go ahead.
What's up, Jake, man? Hey, there's two sides to this, right? Number one, you know the situation. Like, if you're in a group of people and somebody does something, sometimes you can't avoid going over that line, right? You're not going to punk me in front of all these people. The same problem is that Jeff has, we're almost through a second contract with him and he still has maturity issues like this. Like, he's so easy to break. Like, Cam, it's good that Cam's able to do this to defensive players because I expect him to do it during the season. He's so easy to break, though. Buck broke him. Like, anybody could break Jeff. Like, one tweet can send him over the edge. Like, I hate that our best player, which he's a great football player, but he had maturity issues when we drafted him, and he's the easiest guy on our team to break. That's the problem I got.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Adam. And we were saying during the break that if it was J.C. Latham, like the play before, TD was talking about how J.C. Latham was giving it to him after a long rushing touchdown from Julius Chestnut. If you want to hit J.C. Latham, it's not great. You shouldn't start fights. But if you want to hit J.C. Latham, go ahead. Like, J.C. Latham is 340 pounds. He can handle it. Don't hit the quarterback. Like, we got people on the text line saying, like, what should Jeff have done? It's like, don't hit the quarterback.
Just don't hit him.
It's that simple. Like, in practice, you do not hit your own quarterback. And I understand Cam asked for it. Cam was, I mean, he did not handle that situation right. And Cam, as we've heard, he's going to give it to you. And he's going to trash talk. But it's just, you just don't do that. You don't hit the quarterback. Again, we were waiting for Brian Callahan to step to the podium. He is, I'm sure, going to address that pretty much right off the top. So we'll try and bring that to you as soon as he is ready to go. We're keeping an eye on it for you as the Titans are getting ready to hit the practice field for what I believe is their final padded practice of the week ahead of their final preseason game on Friday against the Minnesota Vikings. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Seth wants to chime in on the Ward and Big Jeff scuffle. Seth, good morning. What you got for us? Seth, you there?
Hi, this is Dustin from Hopkinsville. Are you talking to me?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Dustin from Hopkinsville. Yep.
Hey, brother. Good morning. So everybody's taking this as a negative, and all I see is a damn positive. I mean, this team has had no juice. Take that rotten fruit and just squeeze the hell out of it to the core. We have juice. We have a quarterback that is fired up, and I've been the biggest critic of Cam, but I freaking love this. Big Jeff is not our leader. Quit talking about Jeff being the leader. He is there to smash people in the damn mouth and on defense, and I love it. He sees something in Simmons, and he's going to bring it out of him. And this is going to carry over into the game because what they do in practice is what they're going to do in the game. And, I mean, I'm seeing some positive, a lot of positive, nothing but positive, beyond. Y'all have a good day.
Yep, thanks for the call, Dustin. I mean, I agree that, you know, once you get to the regular season – you want Cam Ward to be, I mean, I'm fine with him talking smack to some people, but you do run the risk of getting hit. The good thing is, I think if Jeff Simmons would have done that in a real game after the play, it's probably a penalty.
That's 15 yards.
You know, it's 15 yards. You hit a guy in the face mask like that, and maybe you get thrown out. I know it's, you throw a punch, you get tossed. It doesn't seem like it was a punch. It seemed like it was just a little, like,
nudge
to the face mask. I mean, I'd like to hear what Brian Callahan has to say, and this again, this is why we talk about, I'd love a post-practice press conference. I think that would allow us to get more clarity on the situation, and it's like, you're kind of allowing this story to get legs.
It's festering, yeah.
You can't shut it down immediately. Brian Callahan, if he spoke after practice yesterday, or if Big Jeff spoke after practice yesterday, he could have come out and said, yeah, you know, like, tensions got high for a second, but it's all good. You know, these things happen, all that kind of stuff. But you gave it almost 24 hours for us to come on here and talk about it. I'm excited to hear what Brian Callahan has to say, because that is maybe the two most important players on your team getting into it. If you put J.C. Latham in there, maybe the three most important players on your team. Brian Callahan is at the podium right now getting ready to speak. Let's send it over to Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park.
Not yet.
Yeah, not fully. We're going to get through practice today, see where we're at. I do think the intent is to still play football a little bit with our starters. How much remains to be seen. That'll kind of be determined over the next day or two. But they definitely will be, you know, most of those guys will play, and then there'll be a handful of select guys that we won't, but got to play a little more football.
Kelly, what is the plan with L'Jarius? Is there any hope that he can start working his way, clear the physical this week, or what's the schedule looking for him?
Yeah, there's some hope that that's the case. You know, maybe we'll see where he's at tomorrow, I think, one more time, and then there's a chance that happens pretty soon. But I'm refraining from any definitive statements on it for the moment. But I'm hopeful that happens soon.
It seemed like your scuffle yesterday didn't match up with the sins that you've been preaching, the brotherhood stuff that you've been preaching. Which would you take on one unfolded?
Yeah, I think it was a training camp push and shove and a little bit of loud barking, and that was pretty much it for me. It's late August, and we're ready to go play some real football, I think. And I think that's pretty standard back and forth in this point of training camp. So I didn't think too much of it. Guys got a little hot. Tempers flared, and we moved on. So I don't.
There's a red jersey on the quarterback, not to know that he's not to be touched, not just in a play, but in a situation like that?
Oh, of course. You don't want the quarterback being touched. The flip side of it is the quarterback enters willingly into the fray like that, then that's on him as well. So he's got to not do that and enter himself into that spot. But, yeah, we don't want a red jersey getting touched. So that's what it is.
So when Jeff takes hands to his face in that moment, there are no consequences in that moment.
Yeah.
Is that special privileges for Jeff? Or
no.
Does that tell the defense anybody can take hands to Cam's face?
No, that's not at all. I mean, anything that we do when it comes to those types of things and conversations I've had with those guys are internal. I don't need to share any of them. But, yeah, I think that's not really much more to add than that.
What would it take for you to discipline Jeff on the field and throw him off? You didn't last summer in a much more serious incident.
Yeah.
That seemed worthy of something in the moment to some of us. It seems
sure.
Like he has free rein.
That's not accurate at all. Look, I don't know where this throwing out of practice thing came from. It's pretty bothersome, to be honest with you. I've worked in the league for 16 years with a lot of really good head coaches, and I've never seen a player thrown out of a training camp practice for some pushing and shoving and some cuss words. So it doesn't register to me the same way. I don't know what it's like been before here or anything like that, but I've coached a long time, and I've been around training camp since I was 15 years old, and the amount of players I've seen thrown out of a practice is I can't even remember one that ever happened. So I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what that desire to see that happen comes from. I don't understand it. But Jeff he left the practice field after that play, just like we'd ask all our assistant coaches, if tempers get hot, take the guy off the field and cool him down, and practice ended two plays later. So, I don't understand all that. But I think all my conversations with Jeff and the players involved and now that those are internal. And
you talked all along about how he has a plan and you guys are counting on him. Are you planning on him being in the lineup week one in Denver?
We'll see. I don't have any definitive timelines that can pin that to. We're going to find out. A lot of that, even the return to practice part, as you've seen with veterans that we've had in with Quandre and now Lloyd working back in, there's a health standpoint where you're able to return to practice, and then there's the actual playing of football and the shape that you have to be in to go participate in a 70-play NFL game.
What kind of status do you expect him to have, having been out for so long? It's been probably 10 months.
Yeah, I mean, he's working to get back. He's working to get back in shape. I mean, he's been running and working every day here. It's not like he hasn't done anything. But the playing football part is the next step, and that's you have to be in that type of shape to go play in an NFL game, and we're working to get there.
Brian, I don't think that Cam's been touched in either of the first two games. What is your offensive line doing well right now?
Well, the preseason I take with a grain of salt as far as, you know, what that means for future performance and all that. But it's been good. I mean, we've done a good job up front. Those guys have played well. We've blocked well in the run game. The pockets have been not very disrupted. I mean, we've had chances to throw. And that really goes for all three groups. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of pressure that we've given up from the offensive line perspective, which is good to see. So I think we're improving. I don't think it necessarily is a indictment, good or bad, on what our performance will be. But the things that we want to see from a performance perspective has shown up in the games.
What do you tell the guys in the running back position? Does Julius's place on this team take on added meaning with Khalil's inexperience and Tajay's injury?
Certainly does. I mean, Julius has proven himself to be a good runner and a good protector and a viable special teams player. So his role certainly will pick up, and it puts him in a really advantageous position to show for himself and show that he's willing or deserving of a spot on the roster. And he's had a nice camp. He's had some good preseason games. And then young backs always have learning curves too, particularly in protection. And that process is ongoing for Khalil. So I'm glad we have Julius at the moment.
Tell all those guys that are, you know, still battling for that spot, and this is their one last shot to kind of make their case.
Yeah, I mean, it's still part of the totality of an evaluation, right? It's not one game isn't necessarily going to make or break a player, because we have, you know, multiple practices and games to go off of, but it is their last opportunity. You know, it's the one last shot they have. We got one more day in pads here, and we got one more game this week, and that's it. You know, and the roster gets cut the next couple of days after that. So it is their one last chance to show well for themselves, and not just for us, for the rest of the league. You know, there's a lot of opportunity out there, and that's part of what my message is to them too, is you're trying to put your resume on tape for whatever comes next, because we can only keep 53 guys and 16 on the practice squad. So it is a big final push for some guys trying to make a name for themselves, whether it's here or somewhere else.
With so many young guys on this roster, what percentage would you say that you're still trying to figure out down the stretch here?
You get to this point, you know, there's a lot of things that are pretty concrete, and there's a handful of spots that are up for, you know, competition, especially when you're talking about your depth spots and your, you know, the swing tackle spot, the running back spot, the safety spots. There's opportunity, that back end of the receiving room, that spot 6 and 7. Now, those things are all, you know, being competed for, and I think that's good and healthy, and that's how you build your depth.
It's fair to assume that none of the backups on this team are safe. You guys are going to utilize the waiver wire, signings, all of that. Is there a point of diminishing returns if you add a bunch of guys who haven't been around the culture, around the scheme 2 weeks before the first game, just because you think they could be marginally better?
Yeah, I think that's part of the balance of when you have that opportunity to claim players, is, you know, you don't just claim a player to claim one. You got to feel like it's a real talent upgrade for an opportunity to help your team, and you don't just dismiss guys because, you know, we've also poured a lot of work into these players that have been here for the better part of 6 months. So there's a balance. I mean, there's definitely a, can you find better players and can they help your team improve from even a depth perspective? Great. You know, but there's also some benefit to having guys that have been in and around your system and know what you want from them too. So that's the fine line you walk at this time of year. And again, having the number one waiver claim allows us to be aggressive if we choose to be. And if there's players that we think can help us, I think that's certainly going to be the case. So I think it is. There's a fine line to that, and there is a balance to how much you do in that period of time. But if there's players that can help us, great.
You've talked a lot about the culture shift you've been going for this offseason. Do you have a tangible thing you can point to? This does feel different now. This culture has changed.
Yeah, I think there's probably quite a few I could point to. You know, one of them that I just felt on the trip, you know, it was probably 8 o'clock at night. We're in a hotel, and I'm down in the little area where the meal room is and the our meeting rooms are and stuff, and it's about, you know, 8:30, and I walk into the cafeteria and there's about, you know, 20 guys in there playing cards, and I walk into one of the film rooms and there's about another, you know, probably 8 to 10 guys in there watching film, having conversations, and I think they're buy-in to what we're asking of them from a scheme perspective, and the connection that those guys have made. I think that was really cool to see. That's what I was hoping to see a lot of in the trip, and that was sort of every night that went on. There was some version of a bunch of guys around talking about football, watching tape, spending time together. That stuff, I think, was, you know, I think that's what we were after.
Does Chin need more live reps on returning in order for you to know what he can do, or you know what he can do at this
point? Yeah, I think we got a pretty good feel for what all those returners can do. I think some opportunities to get another one or two in the game. He's got some kick return reps live. So we'll see. That could be on the table this week, potentially. But, yeah, I think those guys have all done a good job in practice. I mean, we got a pretty good look at those guys in the joint practices as well. So we'll see how the live reps shake out, but it would never be a bad thing.
Last one.
What have you seen defensively in terms of the kind of the receiving of the power run that you guys want to use with the bigger guys? Have you seen enough results to see, to know if there's any improvement so far?
Yeah, I've seen our rush lanes have been way more disciplined. It's shown up more like in the practices when you see that stuff, especially in the joint practices, but not as many free lanes, not as clean of a pocket for the quarterbacks to operate in. We'll see when we get to the games what it really looks like. And when we're all in there, you know, rushing with all the pressure packages on top of it. So, yeah, I've seen improvement from that regard from what we're looking for. And again, just like the offensive line, sort of remains to be seen what it actually looks like when we play for real. But I'm happy with the progress. The only person that's going to be – that's new out is Ridd. He's got a little soreness, and we're going to hold him today. Ridley.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was Brian Callahan speaking ahead of Titans practice. Today we will react to what he had to say coming up next. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.